Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Our next guest previously was the head men's basketball coach at Portland State. He was the head men's basketball coach at Oregon State. He has worked at Colorado State and New Mexico. But now, Richie McKay is the head coach at Liberty University. This matchup coming up Friday night in Seattle, 12-seed Liberty against 5-seed Oregon. Dana Altman and the Ducks will be playing against Richie McKay and the Liberty Flames in Seattle, 7:10 on Friday. Richie McKay joining us live via satellite from the campus of Liberty University. How different is Richie McKay at Liberty than Richie McKay at Portland State back in the day?
Well, I'd say significantly, John. That was 30 years ago, and if you haven't grown or learned 30 years later, then something probably went way wrong. I was 29 years old when I was at Portland State, and Jim Sturt gave me the opportunity of a lifetime. But back in those days, John, there wasn't the cell phone, social media pressures that are on us today. So we kind of got to learn on the job firsthand without maybe the volatility that exists these days. And Jim was kind enough to meet he and Ann McCoy. They were tremendous bosses and leaders. They gave us time to build, and we had a great collection of dudes, and actually he kind of accelerated the process, and we won in just our second year. We had a winning record, and couldn't go to the tournament for another 8 years after our second year. So that was one of the reasons that precipitated a move to Colorado State.
Well, yeah, and you got to Oregon State there in between, and I know you're there just for a little bit, and then on to New Mexico. Your dad played at New Mexico. Was that the reason why you had a relationship with New Mexico, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so I actually, John, I've loved my time in Corvallis. The people there are fabulous. I was only there 2 years. I had another tremendous boss, Mitch Barnhart. He's out of Kentucky. But my dad played at New Mexico, and it was where I dreamed of playing all of my career. I wasn't good enough. The Mexico coaches were smart enough to figure that out. But I told my wife one day, if I ever get an opportunity, that would be the job that I really wanted. And it came at a unique time. We had only been in our second year. We hadn't turned the program at Oregon State yet. Again, had some good kids, but that was quote unquote a dream job for me then. And there was a great 5 year. That was a great 5 year period in my life. Just having a chance to coach at my dad's alma mater didn't end the way I thought it would, but certainly was a time that I remember.
It's fascinating to hear you kind of talk about that. I think a lot of coaches don't realize when they're young that most of these jobs are going to end with you holding a cardboard box and walking off into the parking lot, and it doesn't end with nets getting caught down. You're in your second stint at Liberty. What kind of perspective does that give you? You've been there back now the last 10 years at Liberty.
Yeah, John, I know how closely you follow college sports and how astute you are in it. So you'll appreciate when I say, you know, failure is learning. And I just think, I was a little too young, had too much ego, and was so much me-centric as opposed to other-centric and early in my head coaching stints. And that's a recipe for disaster. Like, you can't really authentically be yourself. You're always trying to please the people. And I think one of the things that happened to me when I got let go at New Mexico, I landed on my feet at Liberty. It was a tremendous fit from the onset, and I loved it here. I left after 2 years again, but I only left because Tony Bennett asked me a few different times to come be his associate head coach, and the Bennett family had been near and dear to my heart. Dick Bennett was and is a mentor of mine, and Tony and I were very close, so I left for Virginia, was there 6 years, and came back. And man, when you talk about the growth track and the importance of making sure you know yourself and living your true identity, the shift for me, what I think I've learned most, is just to go back to the commitment of the why I got into it. And why I got into it was I had unbelievable mentors, most of which were coaches in my in my life-shaping years. And I wanted to make sure that I recommitted to that process in itself. And Liberty's just been a great fit for me. We've had opportunities to move and haven't felt led or called to do it. And I'm a man of faith and try and live by that, those convictions. And we've been able to have some success here, and I absolutely love it. I'm in a really good place.
You've been in the business long enough to have that wisdom and have that perspective. I think it's refreshing to hear a coach look back at himself and go, hey, I was self-centered, I was thinking about my next job, or I was thinking about myself all the time. What gives you that perspective?
Yeah, I just think, again, that I had a mentor tell me we should always make decisions based on our convictions and not just our opportunities. If we do that, if we stay committed to that, we won't be seduced into maybe watering down our convictions to fit the opportunity. And for me, that meant instead of the scarcity mentality, like, man, if I don't take this job, I'm not gonna be able to get to where I want to go, or the fans are not happy with us, we need to get out quickly, or whatever the excuse or the narrative was. I've just stopped listening to that, and my wife and I have made decisions together. Our family's been in Central Virginia now for almost 19 years, so we've just been more grounded. And again, John, I think especially as men, I just think it's hard. Greg Popovich always talks about he wants players that are over themselves. And I think as men, it's hard to do. It's hard to get over yourself. But and I think that's why Liberty's been so good for me, the unity of spirit that we have on our campus. And don't get me wrong, there's a competitive pursuit for excellence, but there's – you really feel like part of one body, and I hope that's infiltrated down into our basketball program.
Richie McKay is the coach at Liberty. They've got Oregon on Friday night in Seattle. I'll be there. Coach, what do you see when you look at Dana Altman's team?
Man, John, the adulation when you, because it's really hard from the mid-major level, it's like threading the eye of a needle to get to the tournament. And we win on Saturday night. We get home at 3 in the morning from Huntsville, Alabama, and everyone's excited to like selection show. And then your opponent pops up. And needless to say, having such respect for Coach Altman over the years and his time at Kansas State, Creighton, Oregon, he's really one of the best coaches in our game. He's a future Hall of Famer. This is not gas. Like I think he's one of those that I've learned a ton from. And you can see why his teams are always successful in the tournament. You know, the changing defenses, the spread offense that he runs, and the isolations. He's always recruited and evaluated really well. Their staff develops tremendously. So I can give you a list of 25 things that concern me, but we probably don't have that long on this podcast. I do think, you know, how we figure out Shelstad and Nate, like I think that's gonna be part one. But they've also got guys like, I know Biddle gets a lot of love and so does Jackson, but man, TJ Bamba is really good, and he's playing. They won 8 of their last 9. He's one of the reasons why. But you can't forget about Angle. I'm just telling you, they've got a lot of equations that are difficult to solve.
They are a little bit outside in when I watch them, and I wonder why they don't run everything through Nate Biddle. And when you look on film, do you get a sense of why everything doesn't run through him?
I think they've got so many good players. If you look at the win, they're very balanced. Like there's a guy in a segment of a game that he'll have an 8-point run, and I think it makes them hard to guard, that versatility in their offense. And he's got, you know, they've got so many different concepts and plays that it's really hard to prepare for. And John, if you follow us at all, we are who we are. We're not going to get any taller in 4 days, and we're not going to put in some defense that can solve the how do you handle Biddle and that equation. But we're going to be who we are. I'm sure they're going to be who they are. And hopefully it's a game that it's the last game of the night and of the first round. So hopefully it's one that we get a lot of fans glued to the TV.
Yeah, 12 seeds have been relatively successful in this tournament. And weird things happen, and you know, you obviously have a really good team. Can for our listeners who will watch this game, give us an idea, help us get to know your team a little bit. What would you say?
Yeah, we're often chastised because we start two sub-6 feet guards, and Caden Matheny and Colin Porter, both of those kids had really good seasons. Caden was second team all conference. Colin is a little bit overlooked because he does so many good things. He's an exceptional leader. Zach Cleveland is a 6'6" forward that really is a Swiss Army knife for us. He kind of does it all. He was third team all league, and then we've got a couple other players that we got who are transfers. Javon Moffmer, 6'5" guard, and Taylen Peter, who comes off the bench for us. Taylen was actually sixth man of the year and third team all league. So we've got some versatility in ourselves. Owen Aquino starts in the middle for us. Bring a couple of guys off the bench, but I'd like to think, John, that we're balanced as well. You know, one of the neat things about being a part of this group and being in our locker room is that you can get inspired by our team's selflessness. They really do love one another and care about each other's success. So that's been a joy to be around. And quite honestly, I learn every day from our group. They're really, really neat people.
How does Liberty University in today's world of college basketball, how do you see the place in the ecosystem for Liberty, and how do you have to adjust as the entire landscape is shifting?
Yeah, great question. The narrative out there for coaches is just how hard it is. And although I don't disagree with that, I go back to my why I got into coaching and being able to have a little deposit of influence into a young man's life and some really life-shaping years is important to me. And I think one of the unique things about being at Liberty, though, we're well-resourced from a facility standpoint, the way we travel, the academic support that we give to our student athletes. We've only been a university since 71, and so we're not quite in that NIL space with any significance or relevance, although I think we're growing that. I think we've been able to retain guys, John, just because of the mission of the university. It's commitment to being faith-based, and we've tried to get guys that wanted to be a part of that. And I loved working with Tony for 6 years because not only did I get a master's in the Pac Line D, I saw him persevere. We were 31-31 in our first 2 years, and he never wavered about being a part of something bigger than yourselves, recruiting the right guys. We didn't need five-star players. We needed five-star people, and that's what we've tried to do here. And I think it's built a healthy brotherhood. Like, having been here now for 10 consecutive years, 12 overall, is really neat. Like, our old players come back in the summer. Like, they're DMing our new guys and following them on social media, and that's been a real blessing to me.
What did you get out of the Oregon State experience? And I'll let you go here after this, but it's going to be fun to see your team play, fun to see you mix it up with Oregon, and tournament is the best thing around. But what did you get out of that Oregon State experience, that 2 years?
Well, back then, the Pac-10 was really hard. Like, Coach Kent had it going at U of O. Lute Olson, Mike Montgomery, Steve Lavin, Henry Bibby was in the league. The Stanford Cal trip was brutal. And so for me, we were looking up at the rest of them. There was no Pac-10 tournament at the time, but man, we loved Corvallis. Like, we really did. And I really wanted to be there a while. And when the Mexico thing came, things just changed rapidly. But my time in the Northwest, I went to school at Seattle Pacific. I really appreciated the Civil War rivalry, and my brother played at the University of Washington. He played football for the 1990 Mythical National Champion team, or 91, I can't remember which year it was. But so I loved my time there. I'm excited to come back to Seattle and in the Northwest, although it's a long trip for us, but I'm not excited to play the Ducks.
There you go. All right, Richie McKay, I appreciate you, man. I will see you at the arena and the news conferences, and wish you and your family well.
Yeah, John, thanks for having me on.
You bet. There he goes, Richie McKay, Oregon State coach once upon a time, two seasons in Corvallis. Started his head coaching career at Portland State. He is now at Liberty University. And again, they will play on Friday, 7:10 tip in Seattle, and they will be playing the Oregon Ducks, 12 seed against a 5 seed, and the winner likely to get Arizona on Sunday. I have Oregon winning this game. I have Oregon advancing. I think it's a coin flip game against Arizona, but I'm picking the Ducks. I think Dana Altman, they are just playing so well in their last nine. I cannot see Dana Altman and the Ducks having trouble with Liberty, and I think they'll get Arizona in a great revisit the Pac-12 matchup. Interesting comments from Richie McKay. I mean, as I called around prior to the interview today, I called around and talked to a lot of people who knew him at Oregon State, and it was interesting to hear him talk so candidly about being self-centered or maybe arrogant or maybe being a guy who was out for himself, because those are exactly the kinds of things that people at Oregon State said about Richie McKay. And granted, full disclosure, like if you go back and you know, look at yourself at age 29, 30, 31, 32, and then you're a 59-year-old person looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to see a dramatically different human being. So interesting to hear Richie McKay talk with such, introspective perspective. I mean, it's just, he's being honest, he's being candid, and good stuff there. I love it. Leave it here. We got Punch It Audio still ahead. You got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.